Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Center for Strategic Movements here at Car Talk Plaza.
Strategic Movements?
Yes, yes.
What, pray tell, does that mean?
Well, I mean, I didn't really want to talk about this, but Doug insisted.
Yeah.
He thought it was important that I...
Talk about what?
I beat the chess master.
Holy cow! You beat the chess master. My brother, he bought this chess program, and the chess program has been beating his butt for weeks. Everything he does, it says, you want to resign now? Is that it?
No, it's worse than that. He says, you want to resign now, stupid? I mean, it is humiliating to get beaten.
It is humiliating.
One game after another, after another, after another.
Yeah. I only played one game. I lost.
You lost. You were what?
What?
Humiliated.
I was humiliated in front of everybody, I might add.
Oh, yeah.
And I had to take the blame because I had the mouse in my hand. Everyone was saying, no, 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 not there, not there. And I took everyone's advice, and I got killed.
Yeah. Well,
but you actually beat. What does it say when you win?
Chess master wishes to resign.
Oh, and what did you say?
No.
You wouldn't accept his resignation?
No, I checkmated him.
And then what?
Well, then he...
Does it start crying? I mean, what's the sense of having an apple if you can't get all those wonderful sounds out of it? Oh, crying,
it
wailing,
is, it has all those
canashing. Things. Speaking of sounds, talk about a segue. Get this, will you? As a long-time listener, I've come to realize that the key to diagnosing car problems is sound.
Yes.
Interesting that we should have led right into that. Specifically, strange, evil, and not supposed to be there. That doesn't sound right, sounds. Mm-hmm. I admire the fact that both of you are outstanding at imitating ungodly, otherworldly, non-human car sounds. I don't have that talent. I take my car to the shop and inform my mechanic that the car is making unusual noises. He says, what does it sound like? My first thought is, do I look like Stinking Rich Little? I don't do car impersonations. It usually goes downhill from there. My idea is that you guys start the Magliozzi Brothers School of Car Sounds. A sham correspondence course would seem the most profitable.
Sure.
The possibilities are endless.
And we can throw one of those real estate courses, too, at the
throw
same
that
time.
In, right. The syllabus could include such classics as existential car sound, the thump, and did you really hear it? CS200 for mechanics only. That doesn't sound good. Advanced car sound, CS420. The importance of a great stereo system in auto repair.
Yes.
And my personal favorite, CS104. What the hell was that? I think such a school would be a great benefit to all your listeners and could make you some easy money on the side. Squealingly yours, G.V. Kelly from Reading. Reading what?
Pennsylvania.
Massachusetts.
God knows we could use some easy money if you'd like to call us. Our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Genevieve Van Dievender from Morgantown,
Whoa,
West Virginia.
Too many letters. Genevieve, huh?
Yeah.
Good enough.
Well, I have a 2002 Kia Spectra, and I've owned it, you know, since it was brand new.
Okay.
I have a 14-year-old son who believes that he knows everything.
They do at that age.
Well, yeah. Well, we're
by the way, how
wrong.
Do you how do you like the Kia?
I really like it.
Yeah. How do you like the son?
Well,
is he all right?
Right now.
All right. What's he trying to convince you of?
He's trying to tell me that the gas gauge is broken, but I'm fairly sure that it's the fuel pump that needs replaced.
What's the problem?
Well, when I go out and every time I try and start it, I turn the key and it goes and then it won't catch. So I had to turn the key completely off and turn it again.
Yeah.
And, you know, the engine will catch.
Okay, and you think it's what?
I think it's the fuel pump.
And what does he think?
Well, he thinks it's the gas gauge that's wrong because I've been running out of gas.
Okay, you're both wrong.
Well, let's go.
Thanks for calling, though.
Thanks.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Well, let's when you say you turn the key and it goes roar.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the noise it typically makes when it does start?
No, that's a different noise. And it's been running out of gas when I say that I have a quarter tank.
Well, you know what? I think you need a gas gauge.
Oh, no.
Well, you may, but that's not the reason it doesn't start.
Okay.
No, you got several things wrong here.
Oh, great.
It sounds like...
Well, how does it sound when it starts?
Give us some no sound to the point at which the engine is running. You get in, let me see, you close the door, you put the seatbelt on, you stick the key in the ignition, you get the click, you turn the key, and what's the sound that you hear on a day when everything is perfect?
And it just starts.
Right. Oh, wow. Okay, now let's go back.
Okay.
You get in, you put the seatbelt on, click, you put the key in, and what sound does it make when it doesn't start?
Like it's not getting gas.
Well, I think it's not getting enough electricity.
It's not getting gas, no.
Yeah, the gas would eventually make it start if it were turning over fast enough. It sounds to me like the engine is not turning over fast enough because...
you need a battery.
You need a battery or maybe a starter motor, or you have a bad connection someplace because that roar noise...
Is wrong.
It should go... And you verified that by saying that on the days that it does start, it does, in fact, do just that.
Right.
Take it to your mechanic, and he'll be able to tell you whether it's a battery, a starter, or a bad connection.
Okay.
But you may need a gas gauge, too. If you're running out of gas, when the thing says a quarter full...
Yeah.
I mean, when it says a quarter full, are you driving for like another 4 days before you fill it up?
Gas is so expensive, and we're lazy.
Yeah, so he may be more right than you. So the gas gauge may be faulty, but the fuel
pump... But you're both wrong about what it's doing.
Okay.
And you should have it looked at as soon as you can, because one of these days it just isn't going to start at all.
Okay.
Like maybe today.
Yeah. Great. I brought the other car today, though.
Oh, good.
So, see you, Genevieve.
All right, thanks.
Good luck. Thanks for calling.
All right, bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Kai Stotz calling from Loveland, Colorado. How are you guys this morning?
What's your name?
Kai, K-A-I.
So what's going on, Kai?
Well, I've got a Subaru hatchback, 1985.
Mm-hmm.
When it gets a tune-up, it runs great for about 4, sometimes if I'm lucky, 5,000 miles. And then, gradually, it gets worse and worse. If I drive it for 15, 20 minutes, it starts lurching and hesitating under load, or if I'm trying to pass somebody or go up a hill, which happens quite a bit here in Colorado.
Yeah, you shouldn't be climbing hills anymore with this car.
Yeah. Hey, it's got 90% of the original compression still in the engine, so it's doing well. But what's strange is if I change the spark plug...
It fixes it.
Yeah,
it
I was
fixes
just going to ask you that.
Right.
And when you take out those spark plugs, you find that they're all black, don't you?
Actually, I don't. That's the strange
you
thing.
Don't.
I'm going to suggest that you find crud on one of them. Deposits.
I think there's minor deposits on one or two of them, and my mechanics claim that it's never the same spark plug twice.
Whoa.
Which is really odd, because I was hoping it was a bad cylinder or something. But
gee, I've never used that explanation.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What would Perry Mason call it? Wandering. The case of the wandering spark plug.
Case of the wandering crud.
Wandering crud, that's it.
They may just be getting confused. Maybe they're standing on the left side of the car one time, and the right side of the
car. Like the hump. On Igor.
Like Igor's hump, right. But what's happening is you have, and the car is certainly justified in having perhaps any ailment it wants, you have a bad valve guide seals, and you're sucking oil into the cylinders, and you are oil fouling one or more of the plugs, and one will do it. I mean, this thing is so underpowered anyway.
It may be meandering, because they may all be leaking, and the one that happens to get worse... Fastest,
right,
is the one that causes him to change them.
I just had all those seals replaced.
Oh.
And there's no oil loss and there's no smoke.
This is adding a degree of difficulty.
I'm wondering if it is an electrical.
Kai, will you give us a break? The plugs are not black.
No, they're not
the
black.
Plugs are not fouled, but changing the plugs makes it get better.
Yes, it does. And it only happens after it warms up for about 20 minutes. It runs great when I first turn it on.
Well, there is one last possibility.
What's that?
And this is a desperate effort. It could be.
Alien intervention.
Well, no, that
no,
was...
No, we're saving that for later.
It could be a weak ignition coil.
Oh, I was just going to say, you're not going to go for the coil idea.
I have to.
You
No, I mean, when there are no more rabbits left in the hat, you have
to. But how can you explain the 5,000 miles of good running? I dismissed the coil idea 20 minutes ago.
The coil is marginal. When the plugs are new
perfect.
And they're perfect, there's enough voltage in the coil to fire off the plugs properly.
Yes.
as the electrodes begin to burn down. And I'm going to suggest something here.
5,000.
If in the interest of science,
I like this.
That instead of replacing the plugs,
you close up the gap.
You clean them and regap them, or just close up the gap, period.
A little bit.
You know, if they're supposed to be gapped, I think at 30 thousandths.
Right.
Yeah.
Set them at 28.
Okay, and see if that helps.
And put the same old plugs back in. Don't do anything to them. Just reset the gap at 28 and put them back in.
And my brother's betting that it will work for another 3,000-4,000 miles.
Right. I think you're onto something. And if that's true, then I can replace the coil. Is that correct?
Yeah, it costs you about $9.
Excellent.
I presume someone has replaced the spark plug wires in all of this?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Just before we ran out of ideas.
Alien abductee theory.
See you, Kai.
Thank you.
We get them all. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Yeah, hi, this is Tom from Chicago.
Hey, Tom.
Tom, what's happening, man?
Pretty good. Got my hands on an 85 Caprice Classic Couchmobile, the big station wagon.
Yes!
I got it on a trade deal. I made some teeth for a guy, and ended up with this nice, beautiful Caprice Classic.
What'd you make the teeth out of, oak?
Not quite. I have a theory I'd like to propose from my mechanic who, after telling me this, I think he may not have vented when he did the emission test. The car's been running fabulous.
Yeah.
And just recently, from a cold start, that means maybe 2 hours or longer, there is a knock, a metallic type of knock, in the front left side of the car. And it seems to be directly related to the revolutions of the engine.
Mm-hmm.
If you speed it up or put it in gear and move away, it'll knock briefly and disappear. And it won't do it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
My mechanic, who's in love with the car and had an 86 of his own, he thinks the flywheel has a crack. And as the engine warms up, the crack sort of seals up with the expansion of the metal, and then noise goes away, and I was wondering if that makes any sense to you guys.
It's a one-time noise, or it's a continuous noise?
It doesn't always happen.
It's a tuck, 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 tuck.
Well, more of a metallic knock. You'd think like there was a loose tailpipe.
But is there a one knock? In other words,
it increases with the speed of the engine.
Correct, and then it'll dissipate. It'll get quiet, and it'll be gone.
And you don't have to be moving to get the noise?
No.
No, you don't.
Both ways.
This is unfortunate.
Yeah.
If I rev the engine or if I put it in gear and move, it goes away.
Well, did you give him uppers and lowers for the car or what?
Well, it was a trade deal we did with a trade association.
What business are you in? You make?
I make teeth. I have a dental laboratory. Yeah.
Dental laboratory.
Yeah.
Did you make like just a tooth or two or an entire set?
This one required, for what I spent on it, probably about 10 teeth.
This would be like a bridge, as they call it.
Yeah, right, a crown. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, crown, yeah.
Right.
And crown Vic.
Like a tiara.
You should have got a Crown Victoria.
I'll tell you.
Not a Caprice Classic.
I have to say, it's been a fabulous car, other than this recent occurrence. I mean,
how many miles on it, Tom?
About 130.
Well, I believe that your mechanic could be right. It could also be that the bolts that hold the flex plate to the torque converter are loose.
Okay.
But if the thing is, if in fact the flywheel
is that plausible that a crack in a flywheel with enough heat would an expansion of the metal would actually dissipate the noise?
Sure.
I thought he was sniffing the pipe.
Well, it's easy enough. You can pull the inspection cover down and look.
Okay.
In fact, on this car, I believe it's a plastic pan underneath the flywheel.
Okay.
You can actually see where the starter bolts up, you can see all the teeth on the flywheel. You can see quite a bit of it.
Okay.
And you can, there's a little tool, which you can buy, called a screwdriver. That's actually a real tool for it, but you can do it with a screwdriver. Put a chalk mark on the thing so you know when you've rotated it 360 degrees. Otherwise, you could spend the whole day under there looking at the same teeth over and over and over again.
Yeah.
So you put a chalk mark, and you'll want to rotate.
We got guys in the shop that are still doing it. I mean, I think it was like 1994 when we asked Peter.
Check the teeth of that flywheel, and he's still under there. How do I know when I'm done?
I mean, we should at least give Tom the possibility that it's something worse.
Oh, no, I don't think so. It's the holiday season and all that.
It is the holiday season.
Go ahead. It's been running too well. I'm expecting a disaster. So.
Nah, I don't think you want to know this.
I mean,
at least you should do the following. Whenever the noise is happening, open the hood
and stick your head down there and have somebody rev it up so that it makes noise.
Mm-hmm.
And try to determine whether or not the noise is in fact coming from the tranny or from the engine itself.
Okay.
That's going to tell everything. You don't want to take out the transmission if the noise isn't in there.
Exactly. Mm. Okay.
Because it could be piston slap.
Yeah, no, it could be. Yeah,
No. Did you hear? I didn't hear it.
No,
did you hear that?
No.
Didn't hear a thing.
Must have been a bad connection.
Bad connection. Good luck, Tom.
I appreciate it.
See you later.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. He's in trouble. Okay, Tommy, to help you remember last week's puzzle, we're going to play a word association game. Ready? You ready?
Ready. Freddy. What? Freddy. Am I right?
No, that wasn't the first word.
Oh, all right.
I said, are you ready? Here we go. Abraham.
Hmm.
I was looking for Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln.
Okay.
You were thinking of Moses, right?
I was, actually. I was thinking biblical right away.
All right. Here's the next hint. You ready?
Yeah.
Your mind. Drawing a blank. Well, I was looking for vacuum and... Anyway, this puzzle was about my neighbor Frank's Lincoln and the vacuum cleaner. And I'll have the answer in
just a
minute.
When I got on that freeway, I pushed my boot down to the floor. Like an outlaw on the run, a horse of steel and a blazing sun. But that was back in 1964. Now the freeways of Houston, they're no longer free. It's bumper to bumper. As far as I can see, I'm a prisoner of gridlock, sitting at a dead stop. Now the freeways of Houston, they're no longer free.
And even though Malyazis everywhere decide it's time to prune the family tree whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk...
Yeah, like if you're a teacher with a class of really rotten students you want to punish...
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean...
Old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says, listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. And I guess this was an automotive puzzler.
Well, it certainly was. Could be a household puzzler. The vacuum cleaner was involved.
Well, you remember my neighbor Frank, who lived across the street.
Certainly do.
One morning, I'm out from my constitutional, I noticed that Frank is in the driveway working on his Lincoln. He's got the thing jacked up, and I'm assuming he's changing the oil or something like that. So, of course, I make myself scarce. I'm hiding in the bushes, and I see that he's under the car working away. After a few minutes, he rolls out from underneath on his creeper, and the next thing I know, he bends over and picks up something off the ground. He holds it up. I can't see it well because I'm a considerable distance away, but it looks to be about the size of a quarter. And he has a look of disappointment on his face.
Hmm.
He stands there puzzled. I'm still hiding behind the bushes.
Of course.
I don't dare move, knowing that if I'm spotted, I may be asked to help. Anyway, Frank enters the house and comes back a minute later with his vacuum cleaner. I figure he's going to clean the car. But instead, he attaches the hose to something under the hood. He plugs the vacuum cleaner in and starts up the vacuum cleaner.
Hmm.
He gets under the car with this little thing the size of a quarter, does something, emerges from under the car with a satisfied grin on his face, turns off the vacuum cleaner. The question is, what the hell did he do?
Well, I have to say that I'm completely baffled by this one.
There were a plethora of hints, I think. No? Maybe not.
I didn't hear a single one.
Well, I'm assuming he's changing the oil or some such thing, and in fact, that's what he was doing. But in changing the oil, he left out the drain plug gasket. There was a little gasket that goes between the drain plug and the pan.
Uh-huh.
And when he finished the job, what he found on the ground...
Was the gasket.
Was the gasket, which he held up and looked at with a disappointed look in his face.
Yeah, I considered that
for a while. Now, not having a clean vessel into which to drain the oil, he decided to use his wife's vacuum cleaner. So he goes into the house, hooks the vacuum cleaner hose up to the place where you pour the motor oil in, turns the vacuum cleaner on, and draws a vacuum on the entire crankcase.
Oh, my God.
Don't try this at home. You can blow yourself up.
Are you crazy? So he takes off the drain plug.
He takes off the drain plug.
The oil is held in suspended animation.
By the vacuum cleaner.
Oh, bull feathers. That's...
He then deftly throws the gasket on there.
Puts
he,
the plug
he may have
back
lost
in
a little bit of oil, but certainly not the 5 quarts that he would have lost had he just taken the drain plug out and had it run.
Stop
down.
It!
Hey. What do I know?
Well, I suppose theoretically this is possible. But it would require, of course, that the vacuum cleaner connection fit perfectly into the
hole. Well, I didn't say that he didn't tape it up with duct tape, but he stuck it into
He stuck it in there. And
yeah, it just so happened that he didn't. It happened to fit right into the thing.
It happened to fit right in perfectly.
He turns the thing on, and within a couple of seconds, that vacuum is trying to suck the life out of his engine. And when he was satisfied that he had pulled enough vacuum... He slid under there, took that drain plug off, slapped the gasket in, threw the drain plug back in, and emerged with a grin on his face before the house blew up.
All I can say is I'm not disappointed that I didn't get that.
Oh, come on. I thought it was wonderful. Oh, God.
It is wonderful.
What does it take?
It is. I mean, it's a little far-fetched, and I'm going to try this in your car as soon as I get out of here.
All right. And I will admonish people not to try this because...
No, this is a very dangerous
as you
thing.
Suck vapors out of the crankcase, gasoline vapors, you could blow up the vacuum cleaner and yourself.
And yourself.
And your Lincoln.
And the house next door. And your neighbor across the street was hiding in the bushes. That would have been poetic justice.
That never occurred to Frank. And had I known what he was doing, I would have run over and stopped him. But I felt I was far enough away so that any explosion would not reach me.
Well, Frank didn't really do this. You made this up, right? Yeah, you did. Okay. We have a winner, actually, and the winner is Gerald Runyon from Atchison, Kansas. Atchison.
Topeka.
Is that Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe?
No.
And for having his answer picked at random from the buckets of correct answers that we got this week, Gerald Runyon is going to win a $25 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at cartalk.com. And you look at all the wonderful stuff there, Gerald Runyon, and you can buy anything that costs $25 or less, including our wonderful CD, Born Not to Run, More Disrespectful Car Songs, in time to leave it under the tree. We suggest a tree way out in the woods somewhere where nobody will find it. No, it's a pretty good CD.
It ain't bad.
And the picture on the cover.
Oh.
Oh!
It's worth the price of admission
right
there.
Worth the price of admission.
Anyway, we'll have a brand new, less lengthy puzzler coming up in the third half of the show. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car or anything else, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-822-7825. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Bill from Big Bone, Kentucky.
From Big Bend?
Big Bone.
Oh, Big Bone.
Yes, as in skeletal system.
Skeletal system.
Yeah. Well, that's a Big Bone. There's a euphemism for fat.
Right. You're not fat. You just have big bones.
Well, I've been called Big Boned and I've been called fat, but this just happens to be the place that I live.
Yeah.
What I was calling about was... my wife and I just purchased a Subaru Impreza.
Yeah.
And we want it to last as long as possible. And the problem is the road that we live on, occasionally Big Bone Creek comes up over the road.
Mm-hmm.
And we get about 2 to 3 feet of water.
Feet? Oh.
Yeah, on the road.
Yeah.
And so occasionally... we have to park on the other side of the water and walk about 100 yards through the woods.
You need to do that in order to, because you can't cross the road with the car?
Right, because of the water. And I've tried several times in our old car to drive through. I've got a Mazda pickup truck.
Yeah.
And I've driven through, and it always acts up afterwards.
Sure.
I've replaced starter motors and... We used to have a Toyota van, and we ruined a battery. And I'm not sure if the water did that or if it was just, I mean, the battery was only about 3 years old.
Well, 3 feet's a lot of water.
Right. What about 2 feet?
Two feet's a lot of water. Yeah.
Yeah, 2 feet's a lot, too.
2 feet is a lot. I mean, when you get above just a few inches, you have to worry about whether or not the doors will take it and whether or not it will leak in under the doors and around the side of the doors. And if that's the case, well, there's no hope for that.
Okay.
Right, so 14 inches is about the max.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
The truth is that a lot of that stuff can get very wet and still do very well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, the stuff underneath, a lot of that stuff is okay. I mean, the starter is not going to fall apart if it gets a little wet.
Yeah.
Dry.
Yeah, well, it may never work again, but it will dry.
It will dry. Yeah, I mean, the only way you're going to do it is if that was a serious problem, you had to buy something that was high, like a Land Rover.
I mean, how many people have to cross this road? I mean, maybe you can learn from some of the other people in your town what they do when they confront this situation.
Well, they don't. We had an 84 Toyota van, and it was probably the nicest car on the road.
Oh, I see. So the other people aren't worried much.
Yeah, they think of cars. I mean, in Big Bone, people think of cars as kind of a disposable commodity.
Yeah.
That, you know, you, after it dies, you let it rot in your front yard.
You got a problem with that? My wife has a problem with that, too.
No, I don't. That's why I live here.
Yeah. That's good. I mean, that's actually a nice attitude to take, you know, because that's really all it is.
Yeah, I agree. But we'd like to, before the Subaru turns into a planter, we'd like it, you know, to get several hundred thousand miles out of it, maybe.
Sure.
I don't know.
I mean, did you just recently get married, Bill?
3 years ago.
3 years ago. And is your wife gradually trying to change you into, like, a human?
Yeah.
Because prior to
do you wake up at night to find her shaving the hairs off your knuckles?
Not anymore. I think she's given up on the making me human. She's just trying, you know, occasionally on holidays to make me acceptable to the rest of the family.
Acceptable to the rest of the family, right. That's why she forced you into buying this new car. That's it.
Yeah, it's not in your basic nature to own a car that's good. I mean, what you really needed, and I'm sure you realize
it's a 48 pickup truck.
No, it's one of those pickup trucks with the humongous wheels.
Of course.
Exactly.
That you need a 6-foot stepladder to get into.
That's right.
Yeah, that's what you need.
Yeah, that is. And actually, a lot of my neighbors have something like that.
Well, just do a little test. Get a picture of one and suggest to your wife at dinner tonight. Hey, hon, you say. Now, this would solve our problem with Big Bone Creek, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And see, just get a sense of if she calls her mother and starts to cry, you know how she feels about it.
He wants to buy a big truck.
is your wife a country girl?
No, both of us grew up in the suburbs around Cincinnati, and we just happened into this piece of property down on Big Bone Creek, and we've slowly become country people.
Very good.
And she still has to commute into Cincinnati, but I don't have to. So
you could just hang around all day and feed the chickens. Right?
Exactly.
Well, was there a question here? Did we answer it?
No.
Well, no.
Oh.
The question is, I will, so I guess you did answer.
No, the
actually.
Question is avoid the water with the Subaru. That's the answer.
Yeah.
I don't know, whatever the question is, that's the answer.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
Basically, you can deal with a foot. A foot of water, you could go through slowly. Your brakes would get wet, but they would dry.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, you're asking for trouble if you try it.
Right.
Good luck, Bill.
Well, thank you.
And if your wife cries, just throw away the picture.
And maybe think about a helicopter or something.
Maybe you could just get those big tires for the Subaru.
Oh, yeah, you could put the big tires on the Subaru and raise up the rear end.
Yeah. Yeah, put those big shock absorbers on and the big spring shackles. I think you're ready for that.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Thanks a lot.
Bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jackie.
Jackie, you tell us where you're from, and we'll spell Jackie for you.
I live just south of San Francisco in California.
J-A-C-Q-I-E-Y.
Yeah.
So we'll call you San Francisco for lack of a better place?
Okay.
Jackie.
Okay. Okay, now I have a Ford Explorer.
Yeah.
My husband decided to give me an early Christmas present.
What could be better?
Yeah. Right.
Okay, so what's the problem?
So we have a python.
A pet python?
A pet python called Sydney.
Why do all the wackos
Where do we get
all us?
Sydney.
Is that because you're from Australia?
England.
Oh.
England, Australia, what the hell's the difference?
So why'd you name him Sydney? Why didn't you call him London?
I don't know. It was a family vote.
Okay, Sydney the python.
Okay.
Sid
now,
the python.
Yeah, the problem is he has to have a live rat once a week.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, thing.
My ex-wife was like that.
Yeah, you know.
She's probably listening.
Probably listening.
Okay, so you have. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
You're going to feed old Sid a live rat.
Every week. Yeah, so of course I'm driving home with him in this little paper bag. You know, it's all clipped up so he can't escape. And it's on the floor on the passenger side. And I have to stop to get my coffee to go. You know, keep it.
Of course.
Cool,
yeah.
And while I'm out getting the coffee, the rat escapes. Oh. And he gets up into the dashboard and disappears into the ventilation system.
Serves you right.
No kidding. Well, you put Sydney in there, leave him in there long enough, he'll find that baby.
Well, we considered doing that. But, you know, then you have to get a ferret to get the snake and
or mongoose or something.
But to cut a long story short, he died.
Oh.
Who?
Oh,
the,
yes.
The rat did or Sid?
No, the rat died.
And it must stink bad,
oh,
huh?
Oh, you want to? How can you be cool with your coffee and your yuppie wagon with all the windows open and you're hanging out the window? Getting fresh air. Because,
oh,
so what I need to know from you is, what kind of air fresheners can I mean, how do you crack open one of these dashboards? We've taken the dash to pieces.
Well, the rat has been removed.
No.
Jeez.
We can't get to the rat. The rat, it's a solid, when you take the dash to pieces, inside it's a solid maze of just plastic.
Here's what you do. They, from time to time, you ever see these, I'm sure they have them in Northern California, because we have them all over the place here.
Uh-huh.
These guys by the side of the road with the jackhammers that are busting up the asphalt. You're going to grab one of those guys, give them $20, and let them go nuts on that dashboard.
My husband's already done it.
Oh, no, you've got to take the dashboard apart.
How big is this little creature?
He was a small rat thing. He's about 4 inches, but believe me, when you...
So Sydney's a puny little python.
Yeah, he's a baby. He's a ball python, and they didn't get
pygmy python, they call it, or is that politically incorrect?
Yeah, he gets about 4 feet long, so he has little rats, thank goodness.
Yeah.
I mean, the rat has got to go.
I know. Every time it rains, and we get a little moisture in there.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Well, what's going to happen if you don't get the rat out is pretty soon that aroma, if that's the right word,
will
have permeated every piece of fabric in the car, the headliner, the seats, the rug, and you will never, ever, you will have essence du rat. And every day, on every warm day that you enter that vehicle with its doors and windows closed, that will waft out at you, and you will never get rid of that till your dying day, and you'll never sell this thing.
The worst part of it is, I mean, your husband gave you this vehicle. Right? And now if it begins to smell of essence of rat, you will associate the essence of rat with your husband after a while. So I think it's imperative that you get rid of the vehicle itself now. Otherwise, it's going to destroy the relationship completely.
First chance you get, go right to the dealer and tell them, no matter what it costs, you want to see that rat in a little, what do they call those things?
Body bag.
Ziploc body bag. You want rat patrol. So ask
them. Maybe they can x-ray the vehicle first to find out
where
he is.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
No, actually, the way we find smells, oddly enough, for things like this, is we use a small piece of rubber tubing.
Okay.
And you use that as a snake.
You stick one end up your nose.
You stick one end in your nose. And the other nostril you plug with cotton.
Okay.
I'm serious.
Okay.
And you go around and you will home in on that baby. And when you do, you'll know it.
I'll get my husband on it this weekend.
Okay.
Right. He's going to love you.
We hear that they have a new device called MRI.
MRI.
Yeah, it's called a magnetic rat imager.
Good luck, Jackie. But get it taken care of soon, because every day that goes by,
you'll hate your husband more and more.
The way around.
Maybe. See you later.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, you know, I always worry about you a little bit this time of year.
You do? Why?
Well, you know, the days are getting shorter, you know, less sunlight, stuff like that. It's pretty clear that you suffer from SAD.
Ah, seasonal affective disorder?
No, stupid answer disorder.
We'll be back with a brand new puzzler in just a minute.
Carta, wanna be on Carta. N-A-A-C-A-R-T-A-L-K, what a thrill to be on Carta. Hear my voice on Carta. I don't even own a car, I just want to be a Carta star.
And even though Santa Claus says, thank God they don't work on my sled, whatever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
We're back. You're listening to Car Talk.
Don't wake me up like that.
You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new puzzler. You're going to hate this. I know you are, but tough.
Well, I love the last one. Go ahead.
You know, no one likes to follow a city bus. I mean, they're ugly. They're noisy.
They're big.
They're smelly. They're big. They're slow. Hey, I just described my brother. And in our fair city especially, they don't even have the decency to pull over to discharge or admit passengers. They kind of stop
in the middle of the street.
Right in the middle of the street.
Yeah.
But I discovered something interesting lately. That about half the time that I drive to work in the morning, I don't mind following the bus.
You don't mind?
I don't mind following the bus. In fact, I look forward to it.
Really?
Yeah. I'd say on average about half the time.
Wow.
The question is why?
Going to work?
Going to work. And the hint is that if it's snowing,
yeah,
I don't want to follow the bus.
Oh, that's a hint.
Hmm. So if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or tape it to the aft deck of a Hinckley Sou'wester 61 Ray Salon Custom Yacht. With state-of-the-art navigation station,
Rob's report
and wraparound banquet sofa, leatherette banquet sofa, and sailor too. Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge,
Harvard City,
Matt 02238.
Do we have a slip right there at the post office?
You send it, we'll have it. Or you can email your answer from cartalk.com. If you'd like to talk to us right now, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Matt from Medford.
Oregon or Mass?
Massachusetts.
No kidding.
Yep.
Is it true that Medford is Malden with trees?
That's what we've heard.
Yeah, I'm not originally from Medford, so I couldn't tell you.
We knew you weren't originally from Medford because you pronounced it incorrectly.
Ah, that's right. It should be Meffa.
It's Meffet. Meffet. M-E-F-F-I something.
Okay.
It's either a Meffet. D or a T or both.
Gotcha.
I think it's I-D-T.
Yeah, M-E-F-F-I-D-T. Meffet.
Meffet.
Yeah. You got it, Matt.
All right.
Well, thanks for calling.
Oh, no problem.
So what's happening?
Well, I have a 1990 Honda Civic. It's blue. And every once in a while, I'll be driving along, and when I apply the brakes, like at a stoplight, I'll hear kind of just a high-pitched squeaking noise. That's, you know, the brake pads rubbing.
Yes.
And from talking to various people, one of which being my dad, I have determined it's one of two things. Either the brake pad's wearing out and I need to get them replaced, or it's just a glazing over the brake pads and I should just ignore it and have it go away. So this is kind of a two-part question. One is, what type of music should I play in the radio to drown this out? And the second one is, assuming that the radio gives out, I tell whether or not I'm going to crash to my death?
Yeah, very good questions, Matt. And let's see, what kind of music? I would try to find music that had...
Strings.
A balancing...
I think you want strings.
You
Ooh.
Want strings?
Yeah, you definitely want strings because it would be complimentary and the strings would draw... You need the you like classical music?
Yes, I do.
I would get some Mozart divertimenti.
Ah, good choice.
Yes, you know, cellos, violins, all that stuff. Very soothing, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
really?
I like that. I like the strings. I mean, you don't want brass. Brass and strings clash.
Right.
That is true.
Yeah. No, I think I would stick with Mozart.
Okay.
And what was the other question?
Assuming that the radio breaks, how can you tell whether or not I'm going to crash to my death.
There is a possibility that if the brakes are making noise, that you really don't have any brakes left at all.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get to that point, they will stop making noise entirely.
Yeah, because, I mean, you could have metal scraping against metal, in which case you probably are going to go screeching to your death. I would have someone just take a peek to make sure you have some pads left, which you probably do.
Okay.
But it doesn't hurt to take a look.
And I don't need brakes driving around Boston.
Well, you might. What my brother drives.
Most people don't bother.
Check it out. Be on the safe side.
Okay.
See you, Matt.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Dave in Salem, Virginia.
Hey, Dave.
Dave, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. I have a problem with my 79 Nova.
Oh, another new car. The 79 Nova was a real Chevy.
It's the six-cylinder.
Yes. Oh, yes. Mm. They made these in fours, sixes, and eights.
Okay.
So you got the middle-of-the-road one, so to speak.
So what's up with it?
Well, two things happened, and they happened simultaneously, and I'm wondering whether it's a coincidence or whether they're related to one another.
I love it.
Coming from my parents' house after Thanksgiving, driving on the highway, I blew a radiator hose. And as these things happen, a lot of antifreeze went everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Tried to clean it up as best I could, fixed up the hose, filled it back up.
Oh, so you replaced the hose or you patched it up?
Well, I shortened it.
Ah, I got it. Okay.
Excellent.
So I accelerate off of the shoulder, and it does just fine until I get to the top of first gear. This is an automatic. And at about 24 miles an hour, it feels like it starts to slip into neutral just gradually. And by the time I get to about 24, 25 miles an hour, the engine's revving, running just fine, but I have no power to the train.
Oh, man.
If I let it slow down, it just gradually goes back into gear, and I have power again.
Mm.
Made all the other arrangements to get home, and by the time I had done that, got back in the car, and it worked fine. You know, so drove on home, 4 hours, no problem. Went out the next morning, drove fine, no problems. Went out the next morning, it started doing it again. And it's been sort of on and off again like that since. I called the automatic transmission place, and they just said, ooh, doesn't sound good.
For you, it doesn't sound good. Sounds real good for them.
What I'm wondering is can this be a coincidence? Do I really have something wrong with my drivetrain, and it just coincidentally happened at exactly that moment? Or could they be related?
Dave, this is a great question.
They certainly could be.
They certainly could be related.
Unrelated.
Well, I mean, there is, as we know, a link between the cooling system and the transmission. And that link is the transmission cooler, which, as you notice, has both expressions in it, transmission and cooler.
Sure. And it's a little coil that's located inside the radiator so that the transmission fluid, believe it or not, gets cooled off by the 200-degree water that's circulating around the cooling system.
And it would be really interesting if, when you said you blew a hose, wouldn't it be interesting if the reason you blew the hose was because there was something wrong with the transmission? Wouldn't that be something?
Okay.
Don't you see the irony of it?
It looked more like a worn hose to me.
But... yeah, well, sure it did. Wow.
But a worn hose is a worn hose is a worn hose. If it had something to push it over the edge, like too much pressure in the cooling
from
system.
From the transmission fluid.
Because if there were a leak, a little leak in that cooler, it would actually put transmission fluid under high pressure.
Now, this, although it sounds great, I don't believe a word of it.
Well, I don't either, but...
but it is that link, and wouldn't it be interesting if that's what really happened?
And it wouldn't correct itself.
No. And your coolant would be red.
And you would have lost transmission fluid, although you may have picked up in the process coolant. See, it's possible when the thing cools down. You ready for this?
Oh, it sucks it back
in. Sucks it back in, baby. So you may be running on a mixture of tranny fluid and antifreeze.
That's right. So neither one of them looks like you've lost anything. You put antifreeze in, it went into the tranny.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Man.
If you're really lucky, Dave, you could eat a transmission and a radiator.
Oh, brother, no, let's get serious here. I mean, all of that was brilliant speculation on our parts. But I don't think that happened.
Well, have you noticed any discoloration of the transmission fluid? Does it still look nice and pink, and is it full?
Yes. As a matter of fact, it's a little overfull.
And is your antifreeze of the yellow variety?
Greenish yellow, yeah.
The greenish yellow, and that hasn't turned pink.
Nope.
So yeah. I think we have to go back and say that it's completely coincidental, that, in fact, your transmission is just conking out, and it may have been precipitated by the overheating incident, but it's unlikely. It's just
that's really unlikely.
It's just real bad luck, Dave, and it just stinks being you, man.
But, I mean, it is really hard to accept, you know?
Yeah.
If you do have the transmission rebuilt, just to be on the safe side, make sure that they test the cooler.
The cooler, which is in the radiator.
Okay.
Because if that leaks, you could wreck a transmission easily. I'm not suggesting that happened, but it could have. And if it did, that would be a nice way to tie everything together. But I think the transmission just conked out on you.
Well, thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks for calling, Dave.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
See ya. Thanks. Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Helen.
Hi.
I'm calling from Gulfport, Mississippi.
Gulfport, yeah.
Gulfport.
Got it.
Okay. I'm having trouble with my car with an exhaust smell.
Yeah.
It's a smell when I'm sitting in my car, like at a red light, and then I get ready to take off. It's a very strong smell of exhaust. And I took it to the Volvo dealer, and they told me, now get this, they told me, we think you're smelling your own exhaust.
My dog does that all the time.
No, she's smelling others' exhaust.
I'm sorry. The imagery there was
too strong.
It was too strong, so to speak, to avoid.
And I thought, well, that's brilliant. I know I'm smelling.
Because
there's no other cars around me.
And you said, well, duh, of course.
But they said, just close your air mixer and put it on recirculate. Well, I just don't feel that that's an acceptable answer.
Yeah, that's not an acceptable answer.
I didn't think it was acceptable at all.
Well, it's really not that harmful. I mean, we who work in the automotive industry, we're breathing exhaust all the time.
I rest my case,
Your
Honor.
Affected us at all.
How old is this piece of junk Volvo that you're driving?
It's such a wonderful car.
It's an 86, isn't it?
No, it's a 93 Volvo 850.
If you're... You're sitting there. The windows are open or closed? Doesn't matter?
Usually I have them closed.
Usually you have them closed. So we assume they're closed, and you're stopped at a red light in the middle of the desert in Gulfport. And there isn't a single car around.
Right.
And you start to move. How soon after you move?
Immediately.
As soon as you start to move. But if you don't move, you don't smell it.
Well,
we don't know that
slightly,
either.
But not as strong.
And when this happens, which way is the wind blowing?
Oh, Lord, I don't know.
Well, I mean, what I'm trying to get at is what exhaust are you smelling? And the assumption has to be that you're not smelling the exhaust that's coming out the end of your tailpipe.
I don't believe I am.
Of course not. Of course not. So you have to have some kind of an exhaust leak somewhere.
Okay.
Well, first of all,
that's my contention.
I'm not convinced that it's exhaust you're smelling.
Well, it may not be. That's just what it smells like.
Well, here's what you need to do. You need to run the car, and you need to get out with the engine running and go back by the tailpipe and smell the exhaust and see if it's the same smell.
Okay.
Because it could be something else.
See, other people tell you to stop and smell the roses. My brother tells you to
stop and smell the tailpipe.
Okay. So, well, that makes sense, though.
So for the sake of argument, let's assume it's exhaust you're smelling.
I think it is. I mean, she knows what it smells like.
And it could be entering through the weather strip at the trunk.
At the trunk?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it could be coming in there and infiltrating into the passenger compartment, in which case you'd smell exhaust.
Okay.
And that would only occur while you were moving.
Okay.
So it's possible. My brother has that sick look on his face.
Well, if you drove my car long enough.
It's possible that what you're smelling came in from before you stopped.
Okay.
Oh, I don't want... The dynamics are all wrong here.
No, they're not all wrong.
No, if you move forward, is the gas going to go forwarder?
Yes.
It should come backwards.
Well, we can't go backward indefinitely. There's a window back there. It hits it bounces off and comes... See, I contend that it is coming into the car...
I ain't buying it.
Before Helen came to a stop.
I hope you have another idea, because this one, I ain't buying.
Well, I do have another idea.
Yeah, this one stinks to high heaven. You should pardon the expression.
Well,
yeah.
I think then what you're smelling is not exhaust. Rather, it's an oil spill of some kind, and it's coming in through the ventilation system.
That's what's happening.
That's probably what's happening. I would ask them to look for an oil leak that's dripping onto the front exhaust pipe.
Okay.
Or maybe even the catalytic converter, someplace nearer the front of the car, and that aroma is wafting up, and then as soon as you begin to go forward, that gets sucked into the air vents, which are, you know, right on the cowl there in front of the windshield, and boom, you get it within 5 feet.
You know, I have noticed it uses more oil than I would like, so I wonder.
I mean, come
on. I'm impressed.
I like it.
And it doesn't take much oil, much of an oil leak to make a lot of smell.
Okay.
But you will notice it won't smell like the stuff that's coming out of your tailpipe.
Okay.
But it's similar.
It's offensive.
Yeah.
And brain cell damaging.
Well, hey, you know, people complain of the smell in my car.
Yeah. Well, you better get it fixed because you'll be monosyllabic within a week if you don't.
Have you noticed any degradation in memory or rational functioning?
I think that's a continuous
Do you listen to our show more often now than you used to? That would be a sure sign.
Then it must be a sure thing.
See you, Helen.
Okay, thanks.
Get that leak checked. Good luck.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've squandered another perfectly good hour of potential holiday cheer listening to Car Talk instead.
What a shame.
Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher-Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mayor, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman-Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Belarus, Couscous, Chocolate Mousse, and Chilled Matoose Let Loose, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Novera. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our parts inventory manager is Wayne DeBack. Our urgent response coordinator is Candace Waite. Our personal hygiene advisor from the Tokyo office is O Tekashawa. Our auto seat tester is Fitz Matush. Our airline seat tester is Wilma Buttfit. The pre-recorded portions of today's show were selected by staff librarian All Been Heard Before. Our Russian chauffeur is Pikoff and Dropoff, and our staff tailor is Yu Jass. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Yu Lewis Dewey, known to the Gandalf lookalikes in Harvard Square as Yui Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and don't drive like my brother.
Hey, by the way.
What?
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1350, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, it's holiday travel season.
That's right, so we urge you to read our carefully thought-out winter driving tips before it's too late.
Before it's too late for what?
Well, too late to escape from your mother-in-law's once your car breaks down.
Heaven forfend!
Yeah, read our tips for helping you and your car survive the winter right now over at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though the entire Shackleton expedition votes to spend another winter in Antarctica whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.